First, just tell me maybe why you picked this one.
You're talking about creative resistance and making art that's not co-optable. Nowadays, you know, it seems like the only purpose of art is to get it into a gallery so that you can have this nice lifestyle and not really be in dialogue with the nightmare that's going down in society. That's why I dug it, because this guy's talking about making art that is actually relevant and matters, and where the end goal of the art that you make isn't just making cash. People don't talk like that very much anymore. I mean, I like to think about it that way, but this is the kind of art that I did.
If people aren't talking that way anymore, then why?
I could say some big Yahoo stuff about the corporate mass media complex and government and all that stuff. I mean, but, you know, that's legitimate. But I think also somewhere maybe in the 1950s or 40s, 30s even, American art particularly took a real bad road. It went from feeling like the duty of art was to be relevant and support the working classes and the poor and take on the big issues and kick ass. And then what happened was it decided to go in this kind of abstract way. And I think that was intentional from the funders. I think, you know, like Diego Rivera was in Rockefeller Center. He put up that mural. And, you know, they tore it out because it had Lenin in it and, you know, talked about the plight of the working class and the struggle there. And they tore that up. And then after that point, you start seeing that the kind of art that gets funded, the kind of art that can get out there, is just conceptual art that may be interesting in its own kind of aesthetic way or whatever. But it's not. It's definitely not dangerous or get something going so that art is in dialogue with what's killing us in this world. And so I think it's the fault of art and writing, you know, it's like publishing, becoming so beholden to the consumer capitalistic interests and losing its meaning there. And then it's just part of the general flow of society being consumed in mass media and consumer capitalism so that everybody's just detached and apathetic. So, you know, I got this gig writing for an art magazine because I care about art. And so I said, okay, well, let me write about the New York art scene a little bit. I'll try to punch it up and write about it in an interesting way. It's an LA art mag. So I started going to art openings like in Soho and Tribeca. I tell you what, if you want to just lose faith and get completely dispirited and not want to have anything to do with anything, just go to these art openings. They're just like the most benign, innocuous crap. I think basically that the only art that's left in the art world is just networking. That's the only art that's left. So you basically go to these things because there's no really good art anymore that gets put out there. And the only question you ask is, like, how did this artist do the networking to get him or herself into this gallery? That's the only interesting question that can be asked of the art world now. These guys wrote this in, you know, 68, 69. What is that, 30 years ago? No, 40 years ago. 40 years ago, basically. This was in response to the way the art world was going at that point. And for us, like, the art world was kind of interesting back then on some small level, because at least it had some spice in it. At least it had, it was a little controversial and had weird people and had kind of a druggy vibe in it, which always kind of makes things slightly more interesting. But now, 40 years on, the problem is that these guys completely lost. We've completely lost. We've just been getting our ass kicked by the consumer capitalistic elements of the art world for 40 years, exponentially, especially like in the 80s. And so now reading this kind of thing is like, well, I agree with everything in it, and I myself write this way, you're really reading a period piece. Because it's just like, if you took this into an art gallery now, they'd be like, what are you talking about? I mean, it's the same with publishing. The art world and publishing, and these people, they just have jobs. It's just like realms that give a few people kind of this nice life where they can go to these safe little parties and be amongst each other. It's nothing that I'm really that interested in anymore, to be honest with you.
So in reading this, I mean, does it feel kind of, on one hand, kind of refreshing because people don't talk this way anymore, but on the other hand, does it also feel very sad?
It's refreshing to hear this because, you know, there's like, there are always small groups of people at various points who really are thinking right. It's refreshing to know that level, that this dude was back there in 69, he's thinking this, and I'm thinking the same thing now. So, like, if there's some continuity there, you know that you have, there is some tradition behind this. It's a tradition of getting your ass kicked in a lot of suffering, but it is a tradition that's there. It's kind of cool to be in dialogue with it. So it's kind of, in that way, it's kind of inspiring. The world is a very gloomy place right now. But the world is so sad and gloomy and screwed up right now that it's just like any little bit of interesting thing. Like, I read this, and then maybe tonight I go see my friend, and I talk about, like, yeah, I just read this cool piece about this thing that went down in 69. And it provides me with a good conversation, and I feel like I'm in line with it. So, I mean, you know, it's not that so sad to me, no.
I guess it's that question of what is to be done, you know what I mean?
I did creative resistance. That's what I did the most. You go to an art gallery gig, the only thing that's interesting is the cheese. You know, in museums, you know, that's just like, you know, your family comes to visit you, you take them to a museum, you talk about Gauguin and Van Gogh. Funny thing about museums is that the artists they show, they wouldn't touch these guys with a 100-foot pole if they were alive. But now that they're dead and safe, they'll put them in there and talk about how Gauguin and Van Gogh were the most fascinating guys ever. And I like their paintings, but, you know, nothing's going down in museums. What you have to do on creative resistance is take it into the streets and go into spaces that are still public and make these spaces different by taking on the man, taking on the status quo. This is what he's talking about. When he talks about aesthetic action, an aesthetic response, but the aesthetic must be tied to the political. And so there's nothing I despise more. I mean, like, I will walk away. When I talk to an artist, someone who says they're an artist, and I start talking about, like, you know, what's going on in the world, and they say, I'm not political. When you hear that, you're just like, go fuck yourself. Like, who are you? Like, who thinks you can just live in this bourgeois realm and call yourself an artist in this tradition and have nothing to do with what's going on in the world? You could put beige paintings that I could buy at JCPenney's in the art section if I wanted to. Think you're some kind of relevant, important person. So, no, art is always political. It has to be for it to matter, and especially times like this. There are artists out there who wouldn't say that, who view it as like their responsibility to take on the man and to take on you know, this corrupt society. I think that the response is to go into public space and make art that's non-co-optable. You know, I mean, I'm not pushing myself, but I did something recently that I'm fairly proud of that I thought was an example of this, was I went up to Carnegie Hall and I wrote this particular piece about high culture, consumerism, shelteredness, rich people just not paying attention to the world, and about just the gentrification of Manhattan in general. And I stood outside in front of Carnegie Hall and I read it. And, you know, they got a crowd of like 40 people were standing around. You know, I don't think this thing is going to, you know, live in infamy or anything like that. But that kind of like recreation of public space and like taking it right to the people on the front lines and challenging people right where they stand, you can't co-opt that kind of art. No one's going to make any money off of that. That kind of art, those kinds of things are what matter to me. It's like you have a rally, you have political rally. Sure, that's protest activism, and you can go to these political rallies and get really creative about it and bring your own vibe, and that's really, sort of like the best art you'll ever see sometimes are at political rallies. But what hasn't been explored, if we have the possibility of breaking into the new in any kind of way, it's through a melding of what he's talking about, and this is why I chose the piece, of aesthetics and politics, so that you have this thing called creative resistance. So it's like you maintain your, I mean, like you could just do art that comes out of your soul. It doesn't have to say George Bush sucks on it as a painting. It could just be art that comes out of your soul that's about beauty or whatever, but the way you contextualize it by where you take it and where you show it and whose face you stick it in, you know, where you have it, that makes all the difference. And also how you present it and who you present it with. Those kinds of things in line with creative resistance are where it's at. This gets back to what he's talking about, is that in the world of art, meaning the place where you get paid for your art and the place where you get laid for your art and the place where you get the glory for your art, and you have rich people who are coming up to you and saying, you're a really great artist, I want to buy your painting for, you know, 20 G's or whatever, or here's the W Hotel, do us a painting for 75 G's, it'll really be good for your career. In that realm, they demand that you just gut yourself and sanitize yourself, and that your art be devoid of any kind of real meaning. So basically you're just putting up colors to appeal to rich people, which is really no different from Pepto-Bismol making itself pink because that's more appealing to people when they have indigestion. It's not really art, it's just packaging and networking. So you really just should be working on Madison Avenue. And what's funny is a lot of these artists usually do end up in those kind of fields anyway. Yeah, I mean, what I love about reading this piece is that it just reminds us that there is actually a different way to go about this. There is a spirit out there, and that art just doesn't have to be desanitized bullshit, but it can actually be an important rock and roll force in shaping society. Now, unfortunately, artists have too readily given that up, but I would say, you know, it's like better to die on your feet than live on your knees, is what I say.